Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Cindy F. Solomon coming to you from the San Francisco Bay Area. Welcome to the Global Product Management Talk Startup Talk Radio. This audio series is designed to showcase the people, teams, and inspiration fueling startup businesses and new offerings, products, services, software, applications, and innovative ideas. We're here to understand what it takes to start a startup, what attitudes, actions, procedures, and passions are demanded, what propels these entrepreneurs to tackle the problems they're solving, what did it take for them to get to this juncture, and what challenges they're facing to grow, pivot, or respond to achieve the product market fit. Today, we're talking with Fred Glick and Jeremy Elter from RentScoper, the mathematically driven apartment search engine, rentscoper.com. I met Fred at the San Francisco Startup Festival. Very excited to hear about what RentScoper is all about. Jeremy and Fred, you are on the East Coast.
That is correct.
Philadelphia.
Right.
Awesome. So let me turn it right over to Fred to give a little background about yourself. What brought you to the launch festival last month, and what you're doing with this really exciting product?
Thanks for having us both on. RentScoper came out of frustration. A little background, I'm in the real estate brokerage business, and part of it do rentals. Trying to find a rental on Craigslist, besides all the fraud that goes on with people reproducing other people's actual listings and posting them up for $700 a month cheaper and then asking you to wire the money. I guess that still works because they're still doing it. But it's very hard in a city like Philadelphia, and that's kind of the basis for it, because unlike San Francisco's Craigslist page, they don't break it down by the areas. So you have to search through the entire Philadelphia area where we have about, 3 million people. So it's a big city, to be able to find what you're looking for. And if you're coming here, especially from out of town, you have no idea where to live.
So you can't search by neighborhood.
No, not at all. So what we've developed with RentScoper, with our patent-pending algorithm, is that you're able to go in, and these things don't sound patent-ish, but it's the basis for it. You can go in, you can look at, let's say, one bedrooms to two bedrooms, priced from $1,000 to $1,500 with one bath on a map. So you could see the locations that have colors. So you know the prices based on history, which is what the algorithm is. And Jeremy can go in a little more detail. I'll tell you, like, the bright red is where the most expensive history has been of pricing. And on out to different colors till you get to, I think it's very deep purple, which is the cheapest places. So you can then see, also you can put on layers. So say universities are on there. You can see where University of Pennsylvania is. So you know if you're coming there, you could see what priced rentals are around there that are going to be close to Penn in the price range you want to be. And also if they're overpriced or underpriced. And that's part of the algorithm, too, that's very important and gives us a real distinction. So it really narrows your focus down to exactly what's out there for what you want. And I think Craigslist, which has been the dominant place for rentals, is just lacking. They just don't innovate, and we needed to innovate for them.
Excellent. So you can actually click on a map and zero in to find where you want to live and get a sense of what the costs in that neighborhood are. Is that correct?
Yeah, Jared, why don't you go into that?
Yeah, so what you see there is on the heat map, it's sort of, as Fred said, the red colors correspond to higher rentals, and then the lower colors correspond to lower rentals. It's normalized for, things like the amenities. Obviously, a three-bedroom ought to cost more than a two-bedroom, two baths ought to cost more than one. It normalizes all that out for you and just, puts it on the map. It answers a lot of questions that are otherwise kind of hard to, if you're moving to a new place for the first time, questions that are hard to answer. Take Philadelphia as an example. Where does Rittenhouse Square end? If I were to ask a real estate agent familiar with Philadelphia, I don't think that they could tell you. But let's say that, you know, I want to go, I'm a young professional, I want to go live in Rittenhouse Square area. What I see when I look at this heat map is that the area doesn't end so much as it drifts off, and you can kind of see where it drifts off and when it has, you know, by what street has it drifted off. And with this mapping algorithm, some of the patent-pending parts that we alluded to, it has excellent edge detection. So you get really high spatial resolution. I'm looking here at Philadelphia. I see an area above Black Oak Park that is, you know, in deep purple. I know, having walked through there, that there's a lot of board ups in that area, and you can see that, you know, that thing that, you know, that represented really well on this type of map.
I'm actually using it. I'm going with my daughter to visit the University of California at Merced, and we're told that there's a lot of off-campus housing available. So I looked on the map, and it took me right into Merced. So I see these little pinpoints telling me those are actually rentals that are available. And when I click on one, it tells me what the charge is, but then what the suggested price should be, and how this one is actually saying it's 15% overpriced. Should I live here? Ask a free local real estate agent. So basically, you are filtering me to send me to a real estate agent to get more details.
Well, that's one of your options, yes, because as good as maps can be, you know, if you really want to make sure, considering you're about to sign a one-year lease, and this is going to be the place where you're going to live and possibly your family's going to live, you know, we make that option available, and we're trying to have local real estate partners who want to field any of your questions for free partner up, and it's good for them. They start a relationship that could one day become more of a business relationship, and it's good for the person viewing, you know, because they're getting free information that's going to be critical to them.
But are you vetting the real estate agents that you're partnering with?
Yeah, so that feature is being rolled out, you know, little by little, and you know, Fred, through his real estate contacts, he does evaluations and makes sure that they, you know their area before they can be put on site.
One thing to add, though, it's not dependent on that. And I don't want to give anybody the impression this is all about getting your info and selling it to real estate agents. This is really about, you can still go out and find whatever you like, but there's people who would want to have a professional to help them. So that's the difference. We're not accumulating information. We're not accumulating data to sell it and to anybody else. So it's just simply another tool, as opposed to a lot of sites which are really selling your info to an agent, charging the agent a fee, et cetera, et cetera. It's more of a service than it is anything else.
Yeah, totally voluntary. You notice we don't even have a login feature. We're not recording anything.
That's great.
Hey, Cindy, there's one game that I make everybody play, you know, taking a look at RentScoper. And I don't know if you're still on the Merced site, but one of the things I like to do is go to a city that I'm completely unfamiliar with, you know, just look at the heat map and instantly tell me or tell you something about the city, you know, and how it's laid out. You're looking at Merced here. I could ask you, what is the significance of Golden State Highway? It looks like, is it a border region, that sort of thing? Just curious to see what you pull out of this map here. I'm looking at Yosemite Avenue and G Street. I can see little clusters of population. Curious to see what somebody with, you know, maybe no previous understanding of this area sees just by looking at the heat map.
Yeah, so as I was zooming in, I was losing the heat. So I just refreshed. There's a lot of undervalued things there, which is very exciting. When I'm zoomed out, I see the heat. But when I zoom in...
You should be able to go all the way in.
Okay, I had to refresh. That's what it was.
By the way, at the bottom left of the site on every page, there's a jump to.
Yes, yep.
But so it makes it easy if you just get to our main site. We try to show the entire United States. So.
You know what it was? I was inside the heat. I was zoomed in, and it was all hot.
Okay, yep.
It's too hot.
Yeah. So like, one of the things that I can see right away is that west of G Street seems to be a wealthier area.
Yeah, if I was thinking about where to,
if I was thinking about, exactly, like, so from this whole big map, you've zoomed right in on that area west of G Street by Beckman Way. Now, I've never even heard of the town of Merced before, but I can see that right away. I can also see that maybe, you know, the urban center of Merced is certainly not as affluent, which, depending on the budget I have available, I'm not sure if that means, it doesn't mean that it's dangerous, but I might think that I want my kid up a little farther north. That's the kind of insight that you get right away with a RentScoper heat mapper, that you could never do with, you know, rent.com or a Hotpads or a PadMapper, because, I mean, imagine trying to figure that out in one of those sites. You just have to click on 100 little bubbles until you kind of get the general idea.
Well, you wouldn't get it from that site. You'd have to do additional research to get the demographics and information about the community.
Right, but the heat map just, I mean, it sounds like you've zoomed right in on an area that you're considering right away, and you could do that within 10 seconds of looking at the site. That's part of what I really think makes it special.
Yeah, you know what else? We've added the Google local photos. We thought that would be really good for people. Once they're zoomed into a location that they like, click on those photos and see what it looks like a little bit. So no other site can give you that either.
So it can show, you mean show the street map?
Well, it's not the street map. Well, you can do the toggle to the street view, but in the overlays, you can click on local photos, and that's pulling from Google's map that shows
right,
people's
I'm seeing
local
the
photos.
Businesses.
Right. So you can see if the area is kind of business looking or industrial looking, or sometimes it's hard to tell. That's just one other little feature we've thrown on there. And the street view is great too, obviously.
Excellent. So leads me to a product question. How are you making money on this service? Otherwise known as, what is your business model?
So there's two parts at the moment. You know, these algorithms and everything that kind of grew out, I built them for real estate investment. That's kind of how I got into this business. These algorithms are very good for anyone, any company that needs to know the future value of property, because from the same math that generates these maps, you can determine that with very high spatial temporal resolution. And there are other applications. I know that there are people who, you know, consultants, I know, are working even in the academic field, people who want to study urban blight and that sort of thing. And they're very interested in these algorithms. So there's a licensing model, too, that's really driving the site. The site itself, still pre-revenue. It's really a public service and a display box for the technology. Eventually, we'd like to incorporate some other features into it. Coming soon, we're going to solve the problem that a person who's applying for apartments has, where if you're going to apply to 10 different apartment buildings, you have to fill out 10 different forms and pay the fee 10 different times to have your credit check. We want to build that into our site so you only do it once and then send it out to whoever you like.
Excellent.
We would take a small fee for that, but overall you're still saving 90% if you're applying to multiple places. We imagine helping the apartment searcher through their process beyond just searching is how we're going to eventually monetize the site. But right now it's pretty much a public service.
Right. I call it Alpha Plus. It's beta-ish, but it's sort of still alpha-ish. A lot of other people would have called it beta, but we're just not there yet, and we just want to push it out, and we look for feedback, and we look for ideas of what people would actually want who are renters. Hope to develop it and make some sense out of it. It's definitely big, and we've seen the hits for the areas around colleges, and that seems to be the market, in that if you're younger, you're going to look for the cooler thing to use and the one with better information. And that's what we're trying to give us clear, better information to people.
Is there a mobile application aspect of this?
$64 billion question. Well, let me also put another different hat on me and Jeremy. I am an Apple guy. He is a PC guy and a Java guy. As a matter of fact, he has built this site called JBooks, which I'll let him talk about, which is actually in a real estate accounting system that's awesome, built in Java that will only work on a PC. So we've kind of had this little back and forth about an iPad app, an iPhone app, and first thing we thought of is, who's going to look at this tiny map on an iPhone? It's ridiculous. Your eyes need to be like X-ray vision to be able to get that small. So it may be in the future we do something in conjunction with a GPS search. So that
I immediately went to, well, gee, I wouldn't be looking at the whole map.
Right.
I wanted to tell me in reference to where I am. So I'm going on Saturday to Merced. I'm going to be at the university. I'd love to take my Android and have it tell me, okay, there's five possible locations within 5-10 miles of where you are.
Sure,
I could
sure.
drive over and view them, or I could get that information right in my hand.
We just had some work done where we cleaned things up on the iPad. It actually works pretty cool right off the Safari browser on the iPad. So
do we need to spend the time and money developing an actual iPad app when it can be had on Safari?
We decided on the iPad. It looks pretty good right from the Safari browser. So it didn't seem to make sense to spend the money to do an actual app when people could just go to rentscoper.com on their browser. And I think, realistically, I mean, you know, I got 100 apps on my iPhone, and sometimes when I got an hour to kill, I'll sit and I'll go through the apps and say, what is this? Why do I have this? Why did I download it? I never use it. So I think just being able to have a good, clean iPhone browser experience at this point is going to work for us, because I'd rather put the money into developing the site itself and what it could do for people rather than having that individual iPad experience.
Great. So you're product managing this development. And I'm looking at it on Chrome, and it's a fine experience. And there are ways to – I developed a mobile app for the Global Product Management Talk broadcast. So there are ways to easily put together an app as a means of distribution as opposed to reinventing it on an application platform.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's definitely something that's in the pipe. It's just not near the top.
My other question is – rental's big market, but isn't purchasing a bigger market?
Sure it is, but here's the biggest problem with that. And again, I'm a real estate broker, so I know this. Where's the data come from? You have these massive arguments with different real estate agents all over the country about the sites like Trulia, Zillow, Realtor.com, RealEstate.com, couple other homes.com. There's a whole bunch of them which are called aggregators. And what they do is they somehow get the information, not directly from the multiple listing services in some cases. And what you get is a bunch of gobbledygook. You get listings, but like Trulia could take 3 or 4 days before it uploads. It could have inactive listings. Somebody can't update it. So the data is really hard to get and get consistently perfect. Each individual multiple list service has their live thing, but that's their puppy, that's their baby. They will not make deals directly with the likes of Trulia and Zillow. Now, we have a couple of little ideas in our head to be able to get the accurate real estate data, but you know, when we get that very large chunk of money, and the person who understands it, we can tell them that. So I'd have to have everybody in the audience sign a confidentiality agreement right now for me to tell. But there is a way that we've thought of to literally get every legitimate listing. And that would be a beautiful thing. And I think we have another site. I think it's called House Scoper or Home Scoper or something like that. So we have that. It's on the blackboard. And if there's anybody out there who wants to talk about it, we'll be happy to chat with them after the forms are signed.
What you're saying is that this is an unsolved issue. The real estate market is still
a bit of an oligopoly. There's a few power players, MLSs, yeah. And they keep the data under wraps.
Got it.
And it isn't. There's nowhere that it's really accurate. I get people to call me. You know, I saw something on Trulia. Or the worst one, really, for accuracy is Realty Track, because they claim to be a foreclosure site when, in fact, hardly any of them are real foreclosures. It's just there might be a late water bill from the city is posted, and it goes up on Realty Track, and people think it's foreclosure. So there's no place that has the accurate information. The best source still is a real estate agent with access to the multiple listing service. That's your best place to find accurate real estate data that's live. And then there's for sale by owners, and then there's commercial stuff that's not on the multiple list. It's a cluster, you know what.
So it's interesting because the bigger players, a couple that you mentioned that I've heard of, they give the impression that they're solving these problems.
Of course, yep. If I owned an auditing company, I would want to do an audit of their actual listings. I'd be there forever, make a fortune.
You came to solving this problem, Fred, because you're in real estate. And Jeremy, you came to solving this because you're a math whiz
I like to think that I am, but that's kind of a long road to RentScoper for me, actually. In college, I was a biomedical engineering student at Johns Hopkins doing something completely unrelated, other than that it also involved math. I realized that I was spending money 9 months out of the year, but really only making it in the summers, so I was looking for passive income. So I got together with my little brother, and you know, we had been saving our pennies since we started working when we were like 12, and we bought a rundown old house that had fallen into disrepair, and you know, back home, we fixed it up one summer, rented it out, started making some money on it, and of course, we were collecting those checks all year round, so since it didn't have a mortgage on it, we borrowed against that one to do another one, and we got up to a couple of them, and so I got into real estate investment that way just because I wanted the passive income.
When you were 12?
I don't know. I started saving money when I was 12. I was a sophomore in undergrad when we started our real estate investment company. My brother was actually, I don't think he was 18 yet. He couldn't even sign the papers on his own when that got started. That was back in 2005. So that's how I got into real estate. And, you know, I realized that I was spending all my time trying to forecast, you know, how much, you know, where we're going to be able to pay our bills, because we get these massive school bills and things like that. And so I started looking at Quicken and that sort of QuickBooks, but they didn't have any type of real planning features. They just had your basic accounting stuff. And we were constantly running our accounts down to like $20, and we needed to make sure we weren't going to bounce checks and things. You know, I was making all these Excel files to try and predict how much money we'd have and whether or not we'd be able to pay our bills. But after the second house, that just became so cumbersome that it was taking all of my time to change the different scenarios. So I actually learned to program in Java, like, you know, Wikipedia, learned to program in one window and then my project in the other. And it might, you know, it took me years to make, you know, this is when I started making JBooks, my real estate accounting software. It took me years to make it just because I was learning to program. It would take me an hour just to move one box from over here to over there. And, you know, I'd take it and show everybody, and they didn't understand why it was difficult, but you know, they were not programmers.
Right.
But yeah, so I made this accounting software, and I put it online. I've been using it. It took me about an hour and a half to do an entire year's worth of taxes recently. I just got done with that. It's real fast. Self-predictive, does all these cool things. But then the other thing I was spending all my time doing was shopping for properties, because you really can't invest in an area that you don't understand. You don't know if a property is cheap because it's cheap or it's cheap because it's undesirable. So I started looking into automated algorithms to try and figure out where the appreciating areas were, and not just by zip code because or something big like that, but you know, real down to like individual properties on individual blocks. Are they going to go up in value? Or are they overpriced or underpriced? And you can see how that was the kernel for the RentScoper. And then when I met Fred, we playing hockey of all things, you know, we started talking about how this might be valuable to people besides me. You know, real estate investors definitely, but you know, anybody might want to know the value of property, and the algorithms work just as well for rents as they do for sales. So that's when we got the idea of RentScoper. I built up the website and it was born.
Beautiful. What's the URL for JBooks?
It's actually jbooksprofessional.com. I couldn't get jbooks.com because a Jewish bookstore already took it.
And Jason Daugherty, who's an author, has J-A-Y Books.
Right. So it became JBooks Professional, which sounds a little glintier.
And you did put a link on RentScoper, if I remember, in the About section.
Yeah, and the About Us, there's a brief partnership. They're both, you know, they're both affiliated with me, so I guess that makes us partners.
JBooks Real Estate Investment Software.
Yeah, so that can do a number of different things. The biggest feature, the one that's patent pending, is the simulator. I can't underestimate how valuable it is to just see on a calendar. It figures out, oh, I see that you pay your school taxes every year on August the 25th. So it's going to put in August the 25th as school taxes. You know, I get rent every month for this amount, you know, from this house. And so it just autofills in all that. And then you can start playing around with scenarios. What happens if I buy house A in September? You know, am I still going to have enough money in August to pay my school bills? Or how much money will I have in 5 years or next month?
So it's a forecaster.
Yep, it is.
Yep.
That's exactly what it is. It's a forecaster on its own when you start manipulating them and quickly generating all the scenarios, and I call it a simulator.
Excellent. And I see you can license it for $49.99 a year.
Yeah, it's really priced for the individual investor or even somebody who's just curious and wants to get started. Because most people, everybody says they want to invest in real estate and get that rental money coming in, but most people don't know where to start. So it's priced to give you a place to start.
Excellent.
Cynthia, I wanted to mention one other thing, you know, like we have nothing else to do. And by the way, Jeremy is on his way to getting his doctorate in bioengineering. So, you know, he's got no time. But in the meantime of what we're doing with hockey, this maybe would find people interested in this. We actually came up with a patent pending idea for a way to take a hockey visor, the plastic visor that goes in front of your face when you're playing, and remove the moisture from it. It's a vapor eraser, per se.
And the sweat.
Yeah, and you can use it on more than just hockey visors. We're getting the patent based on basically any optical glass, plastic, anything like that. It's pretty cool. So that's another product that we're playing with. We're kind of in between getting the prototype done.
So I know I'm talking to an entrepreneur when you have all these ideas.
Yeah.
And you see it as a natural segue to go from a piece of software to an article of clothing.
There you go. But can we come up with another entrepreneur? It's driving me crazy. It's overdone. But go ahead. I'm sorry, Jeremy. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, that's kind of an interesting point for people who are looking to get started in an entrepreneurial project. You know, Fred and I were both obviously just into that sort of thing in general. So when we got together, you know, we started bouncing ideas off each other. Then we tried to make it almost a little bit more, at least, you know, if not formal, then regular. We would meet every Sunday, and one of us would cook. Now it's usually Fred because he's a better cook. But
oh yeah,
yeah. But so we meet up. We call our little brain trust meetings, and we just bounce off ideas off. And sometimes we even had some other people come in and just meet with us. And it's mostly dinner, but some real talk as well. And then you never know what's going to come out of it. Most of it's garbage. But, you know, RentScoper came out of that, and the J-Shield hockey visor came out of that.
Right. And we keep a Google Doc. So if we both come up with ideas in the middle of the night, we can just write it on there, and then the other one can see it and make comments. So that's a good way, obviously, to share ideas. You can do it live. I mean, most of your people, I'm sure, know about Google Docs, but it's good for this kind of brain trust thing.
Excellent. And to your point about the misnomer entrepreneur, really, people who are product professionals are in dealing with actually taking the idea and putting it through the process of making it real. And they're really concerned with the business case process of developing that product. So further down, but everything has to start at the idea. And often the entrepreneurs aren't interested in or aren't familiar with what the long tail process is to take that idea into a product and to gain a market share and revenue.
Yeah, I can tell. I always say to people, I'm the idea guy who can clean it up at the end. Just need the middle person. Like for RentScoper, Jeremy's been the burden of the middle portion because he's more of the computer nerd than I am. And we've had a couple people help here and there, but we'd probably like to get a third person to come in and do a little more of the grunt work, because it's more important that he cures heart disease with his degree than makes RentScoper. So, and that's coming soon. But, yeah, the process is hard in trying to figure it out and trying to go step by step. We know with just the J-Shield, which is what we call the vapor-removing product, the shield itself for hockey is a curved surface. And we needed to put this device on it that we want to use, and it's hard to find a manufacturer who'll do this one shield. So we might have to augment it and do it on flat plastic rather than the curved plastic, just to see that it works. So you have to do
prototyping and hardware.
Yeah.
I have to shelve that for another discussion.
Okay.
But with the software.
Gotcha. We'll come back to the J Shield another time. But.
Right. So it's interesting, Jeremy, these two software application businesses that you built, these are almost your hobbies, and these are to fund your education?
Yeah, they're just totally part-time things. I had an interest in business. For somebody who's doing 8 years of schooling, I actually don't particularly like that as my preferred method to learn. I'd rather get some skin in the game and try things out. So if I'm curious about businesses, so I started some.
Brilliant. So it's patent pending. Are you looking for investors? I see you're in customer development, or where would you put this in terms of where you are on the product business market fit continuum, if you will?
Yeah. So, I mean, as you can see, you know, the product works pretty well. You can always make more tweaks, but it really does the job. I think that we would like to see some investment coming in so that we could publicize it, because as cool as these features are, I mean, everybody who sees it loves it. Our 50% of our visitors are returning. But it's really hard to get the word out to people about these features, and they're really not, they don't help anybody if no one knows about it. So I think that we could definitely use some investment capital for the marketing side.
And Fred, how focused are you on generating that? Because that's a whole other endeavor to...
Yeah.
There's actually a tech startup group in Philadelphia, Philadelphia Tech Group, I think it's just a simple name like that, that meets up at University Science Center, which is a few buildings that is right in between Drexel University and University of Pennsylvania. And so it pulls off the brains from those two universities and some entrepreneurs and some bigger businesses and some development companies. Once a month, they'll have about 200 people at these events. And they let three different companies for 15, 20 minutes put on a presentation about their site. So that's something we're working on. And in the audience are people who want to invest, who invest in startups. And it's just a matter of networking. We feel as though staying local works, but fact is we have some antenna out in Silicon Valley. But for both of us, it's not our full-time job, but we can turn our attentions to it fairly quickly.
Well, it's very exciting, and I'm honored to have spoken to you at this point in your venture early on.
It's great. Thank you. Thanks for having us. We really appreciate it.
So now I'm going to be watching you.
Good.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you, Jeremy Elser, and thank you, Fred Glitt, for telling us about Rentscoper as well as about JBooks Professional.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Cindy. Nice meeting you.
Right. Okay. Bye-bye.
Take care. Bye.